Welcome to the Diesel Power Products Podcast, where we talk about anything and everything between owning, operating, or building a diesel pickup. We post new episodes every Wednesday.
Hello and good afternoon. Welcome to Diesel Power Products Podcast, episode 24. This is Ben whispering in your ear. Whisper. Just kidding. Welcome to the show. Tyler's coming back. He had to get a beer. beverage. Episode 24. Today we are talking about a pretty common vehicle that I think a lot of people have and a common scenario I think a lot of people are going through. Be sure to check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play. We're getting them starting to get them posted on YouTube. If you're listening to this on iTunes and you want to be involved in the live broadcast, you can ask questions, we can interact with you. Make sure you watch us on Facebook Live. We're coming at you late today because we're having technical difficulties because life is life. That's what happens. But 3:15 p.m. Pacific time, we go on Facebook Live and we answer questions. And if you leave us a cool comment, maybe we'll talk about it. Or even if you call and email me. This is about one of our customers.
Yeah, or if you send us a cool enough email with like a picture of your truck, we might actually talk about it on an episode.
Exactly.
That tends to happen.
Yeah, Kevin Calloway. I know you. Yeah. I actually reference your video a lot on some other things with other customers.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyhow, today we're talking about 07.5-12 6.7 Cummins that have been potentially, they're probably lifted, but running 37s and towing.
Yes.
Now, we've done a towing episode.
Yep.
We've done a compounds episode. We've done a suspension episode.
Yep.
We've done, did I say tires already?
Yeah, we had tires.
We did tires.
No, you didn't say it.
Okay,
no,
we did tires already. So this is kind of like the culmination of everything. Mm-hmm. The only thing we haven't done a whole episode on, and after the chart that I made, and I actually blew my own mind inadvertently, we are going to do a gears episode, and we're going to get real nasty with it. We're going to start throwing out, we're talking like lots of decimal points, and we're going to hammer this down so everybody actually knows what they're getting into with gears.
Yeah.
But one of our listeners called in, and we actually talked about 45 minutes about his truck. He's got a 12 Ram, so this will apply to 07.5-12 Rams. And he's done the basics, intake, tuner, exhaust, and he's got a little bit of money to play with.
Yeah.
Wife gave him a budget to make sure this thing can tow, do whatever it needs to do, $10,000.
Wow.
Your wife is A-okay in my book, man.
You better spend that fast.
If she's anything like mine, she probably said $10,000, and if you ask for a cent more, I'm going to kill you.
Yes.
So that's why you're doing your homework, and that's why we talked in
charts.
We made a chart. We got on Excel and we mapped out everything.
It's Mr. Excel over here.
Yeah, I'm okay. and then we talked for, like I mentioned, about 45 minutes. And so your truck is, it's got a 4.5-inch lift, a long arm lift, which is very nice, good work. And you're running 37s. And of course, most people when they run 37s, the last thing they think about is
gears.
You already knew about it, so. Yeah. No,
so cool.
Yeah, you're good to go there because you knew before you called in because you listened to one of our episodes. Now we're talking. Good man.
Yeah.
But
for everyone else out there, gears is like when you first think of it, it's like the most unsatisfying mod you could do to your truck.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it. It's super hard to install. Well, not super hard to install, but you kind of got to know what you're doing. You got to have some special tools.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's something you don't see. It's hidden in the differential. It's hidden behind a cover. So it's something that a lot of people overlook just because of that simple fact. It's not something you can see when you hop in the driver's seat. It's not something you can see when you pop the hood or even just looking at the truck. You can't tell. But gears can make a world of difference. Mm-hmm. Not only for how your truck reacts when you hit that go-go pedal, but mileage. Longevity of your drivetrain components, such as transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys haven't seen the video yet on Dynamite Diesel's page, but Cooper, our general manager, and Lenny at Dynamite actually were talking about this with the owner of the company's truck, his 16 Mega Cab.
Yeah.
And that thing's got it's got compounds with an Aisin transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody out there that has an Aisin transmission knows that those things are not known to hold power.
Yeah, great for heavy duty use. Do not like power over stuff.
Yes. So, what we did was take advantage of mechanical advantage.
Mm-hmm.
and that's what gears do. And it's huge. And it's just like Cooper was kind of saying earlier, once you do a set of gears and actually feel the difference and notice the difference with your truck,
mm-hmm.
you will never own another vehicle that you won't do gears in.
Yeah, that's not geared properly for what you're doing.
Yep.
And I'm still actually shaken by the knowledge that I figured out just by making my own chart.
Me too, because I haven't really had, I have never really gone to the depths that you have as far as the latest stuff out, with each gear ratio, tire size, and we're all, this whole chart that, if you guys want to, well, I can kind of show you here, I'm probably not going to see the detail of it, but we kind of made like a little chart here, and this is all based off of a automatic 68 RFE truck.
So automatic 68 RFE truck. Up here we've got basically your 31-inch or stock tire. The research I did, they're either going to be 30.5 or 31.6. I figure we split the difference of 31. So 31-inch tires at 60, 65, 70, 75, 80 miles an hour at 373 gears. So I charted that out, and then I did it at 410, and then I did it at 430, and I did it at 456. 35 column, inch column is up blank at the moment, but then I filled it out for 37s.
Yes.
And that's where my brain fell out of my butt.
Yeah.
Like,
because if you look at this to this, it's
not far off.
No. This is like money.
Yeah.
Almost money. Or 430s. We're kind of, 430s are almost dead on.
Yeah.
So, again, taking advantage of the mechanical advantage is huge. When building your truck, and again, I can't stress enough the fact that it saves transmissions. And again, I go back to our Mega Cab. I mean, show me one other truck that has compounds that has a stock Aisin that has held up.
Yeah.
I mean, the
truck dynos, I think they said about like 850 or 90, and they were able to basically have 500 usable horsepower.
Yep.
Like almost all the way throughout the RPM brand.
Yeah.
And I know you're probably thinking to yourself like, oh, 500 usable, like, well, okay, well, that's like actually being able to put 500 to the ground.
Yeah,
that's, you may have a truck that dyno with 1,000 horsepower, but you know, daily driving, can you actually use all 1,000 horsepower? Probably not.
Yeah,
but this thing, it rips. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So getting back to the build we had going on, so we called in. We talked about gears, and we're going to touch more on those ratios in a minute here. And he's towing a lot with the truck, so we talked about turbos.
Yeah.
And he watched our compound episode, and we talked about compounds. And Tyler says, "What's up from Kansas?" Sounded, and we, you know, it's, you know, the magical compounds.
Yes.
And there are added turbo kits for a stock turbo.
Yes.
ATS makes a great one. So does Hardway and Industrial Injection, I believe.
Yep.
You can all add a turbo onto the or the stock one, which means you keep your exhaust brake.
Yes.
You're not spending extra money on two turbos. But we also talk a little bit more, and it's like, my stock turbo, I think it's on its way out, which they tend to do. So at that point, it's like, well, if you're worth 10 grand and you do an added turbo and your stock turbo goes out, you're going to have a really angry wife. Because at that point, that 10 grand just, you know, in the wife's eyes went to junk.
Yeah. Yeah. You just bought something that made your truck a pile of crap.
Yeah. And then you've lost your good track record.
Yeah.
I've learned that. If you're going to pay money for stuff, it better freaking work. My wife is not watching because she doesn't have Facebook, so I can say that. she has iTunes. Crap. Anyhow. So you got to make sure that it works. And so we kind of went back and forth. We talked about the Cheetah and the BD Screamer. Both of them, really, I like the turbos a lot.
Yeah, modified VGT turbos, I mean, they're cool. For a guy that likes the response of a VGT turbo, especially if they like the way the stock performs, they just want to get a little bit more out of it. Excuse me. Those options are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really are. And the cool thing is, too, like with BD, they brand new electronics, which is the number one thing that fails on those trucks. Electronics are key. So anytime, and this goes for anytime you place that turbo, even if you're just going to put a stock one on there, make sure you're looking at turbos that have brand new electronics. Mm-hmm. You're going to save yourself some hassle in the long run. So that's just kind of another benefit there. But one thing you got to kind of worry about too is drive pressures, especially under a load. So, I mean, there's a couple different ways to kind of address that. We have, you know, a couple wastegates on the site that you can put on that exhaust manifold to kind of alleviate that drive pressure. So if you kind of want more information on that, just give us a call and we'll be happy to talk to you about that.
Yeah. So between the Screamer and the Cheetah, we have both really good turbos. Mm-hmm. We sell both of them like hotcakes. And this is where actually talking about it, making a chart, and having a budget really come into play. So we've got the BD Screamer, 64.5 millimeter turbo.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Cheetah, 63. BD coming in at $29.95 before core.
Yep.
Cheetah is $24.95.
That was $26.95.
$26.95.
That was $26.95.
I have it written down here because I made a spreadsheet.
Is it $26.95? Am I right?
Fleece sheet at $26.99 before quarter. There we go. So not a huge difference there, but when you're working with a budget, that $300, that makes a difference.
That adds up.
So when we were talking, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I like both of them, but if we're going to start splitting hairs and we're worried about budget, let's go with the Cheetah. Yeah. Save yourself a little bit of money there, and you'll still be happy with it. So we went with the Cheetah, and then other stuff that people don't think about. When you're doing a turbo, you're probably going to want to change your oil.
Yeah.
So, and you're probably going to lose a little bit of coolant.
Yep.
So on this list, I have an oil change in there.
Yeah.
But I didn't put coolant on there because you don't lose a lot.
You don't lose a ton, but no. you definitely want to check it and top it off if you're going to do mm-hmm. Do something like that. So.
And then to help with that, we did.
And oh wait, hold on, just back up, just because some people listening might not know, those VGT turbos are water cooled.
They are, yes.
Water cooled. So that's why we're talking about coolant. If someone's out there like, what are they talking about coolant? We're replacing the turbo. That's stupid.
Yeah.
They're water cooled.
So if you're going to have the turbo off, mm-hmm. great time to do the exhaust manifold. Absolutely. So we got a BD two-piece manifold. And what's the first thing everybody forgets about when they do a manifold?
Gaskets.
Gaskets. Put that on the list too. Yeah. $75.
Yeah. And for anybody out there asking, well, why do you do a manifold? Why can't you just replace the turbo on the manifold? Just so you guys know, I've done a ton of these turbos on these trucks, whether it be stock replacement or aftermarket. The easiest way that I've found to kind of get that turbo out of there is actually not even pulling it off the manifold until you get it out of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
So pulling the manifold off the engine with the turbo still attached and pull that whole thing out. That's actually easier to do than trying to get the turbo off the turbo flange and then do that. Just kind of a tip out there for you guys.
Yeah, so. That's what me and Ash did when we took his stock turbo off. Yeah, that's the way to do it. It's heavy as hell getting
it
out.
It is heavy as hell.
But worth it.
Yeah.
So we put exhaust manifold and gaskets in there. Try to think about that extra stuff. And we talked about his transmission.
Yep.
Charcoal has about 120 on it. And he says he feels like the converter may be slipping a little bit. I had mentioned that, you know, once you get a proper gear ratio on there, you may find that you get enough mechanical advantage where that 60 RFE, you might see some of those transmission issues maybe not be so bad.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that if you have a bad transmission, gears are going to fix it.
No.
What I'm saying is if you just notice that maybe the transmission isn't quite doing what it needs to do when you need it to, get some of that mechanical advantage back and see how it goes.
Yeah.
You may find, holy crap, my transmission issues have gone away.
Yeah.
Or I don't need to, you know, pull it out and rebuild it yet.
Mm-hmm.
We did want to address transmission temperature, though.
Yes.
So we talked about two things. One of them is a brand new product from ATS. I think it's their transmission temperature diverter solenoid, something like that.
Yeah.
I saw a movie, Clint Cannon put it on there. It actually blew my mind. I didn't put a call on hold. I took myself out of the queue so I could watch it. When you see Clint Cannon on Facebook with a video, you stop and watch.
I don't watch him anymore unless he has his ponytail.
It's because you've known him for a long time.
If he doesn't have a ponytail, it's not a good... No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. what they're talking about is that there is a temperature sensor inside the transmission that will allow fluid once it hits a certain temperature to go to the cooler, come back and get cycled through.
Yeah.
The only problem is every piece of particulate that's in your fluid ends up flowing through that passage.
Yeah.
And that sensor and the thermostat, I guess you want to call it, gets gummed up to the point where it maybe might not open all the way, might not close all the way, or it gets stuck. So you're either not letting any fluid to the cooler, letting some fluid to the cooler, or always letting fluid to the cooler. So that's where you kind of see these erratic transmission temperatures.
Yep.
So what they do is they have a block that fits in exactly where the stock one was. I don't recall if it has a new sensor or no sensor at all. So I want to say it's no sensor at all, so it's always passing through the transmission cooler and coming back.
Yeah.
And they say they saw guys that were getting like 210 in transmission temps were dropping to like 185.
That's a huge drop.
Yeah. And I could be off of my temps here. Quote me if I'm wrong, but I watched that and that was enough for me to, again, my brain fought my butt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy crap. And I have to assume it might be like 250 or $300 or something like that. He had it in front of him. It's like a little billet block.
Yeah, I didn't even see this video, so mm-hmm. I'm kind of learning about it too.
I think that would be a great option.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beyond there, if you're really looking to just make sure that the trans temps are in check no matter what, BD extruded double stack cooler.
Oh gosh, you can't. Yeah, that would even, like, if you have like a I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. But if you have like a bad transmission that's like overheating all the time, you put a double extruder cooler on there, you're probably going to drop your temps a ton. And it might actually prolong it. I don't want to, by all means, don't put a cooler on a transmission that is going out. But what I'm trying to get through is the fact that that cooler is just insane at doing its job.
Yeah.
It cools like no other cooler out there. Mm-hmm. And the extruder design that BD does, which is cool, they do this with their intercoolers too, and this is what makes their intercoolers so good. And there's a ton of manufacturers out there that'll even say BD's intercoolers best on the market.
Like that's why we don't make one.
Yeah, I think actually Clint might have said that too once. But the extruded design. So if you guys don't know what extruding is, what I always think about when I think of extruding is like back in the day playing with like Play-Doh and like pushing that Play-Doh through and it makes like that square or like that. So that's essentially what they're doing with the metal. The metal is getting forced through a die that is basically forming fins instead of just a tube that fluid is flowing through. That tube is basically lined with fins, essentially, to where it just... And anytime you can increase surface area on that cooler, you're going to increase its cooling ability.
Yeah, it's going to be able to dissipate and transfer.
Exactly. It's going to be... Because you have more surface area that can absorb that heat and transfer it and get it out of there. So they do that with their trans coolers just like they do that with their intercoolers. So... Awesome design out there. Hard to beat that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't really say anything more on that. They're awesome.
They're so good, in fact, that we didn't even include a deep pan.
Yeah. Oh.
Because we didn't even put a deep pan there because budget.
Yeah.
It's all about budget because that...
Getting the most of your money.
Yeah, getting the most out of your money. Will a pan, like if it's between getting a pan... Or an extruded cooler, if you're really worried about temps, the cooler's gonna win.
Yeah.
The pan, it looks cool, it holds more fluid, but you may be able to drop your temps 5-10.
Yeah.
Most.
And one other thing with those coolers, it comes with its own fan. A lot of people like will get the call saying, I want to mount this up front. Okay, it is not designed to be mounted up front, especially with that fan. People will think, oh, it'll just cool it better. Well, the fan that would work, if you're not putting the fan on and you have room for it up there.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, guys are mounting these in kind of like I would call like a dead air space area under the vehicle to where that fan can actually do its job. Because if you try to put that up front, the fan will actually kind of be a restriction. When especially at highway speeds, when that air is trying to force itself through all the coolers, and then it runs into that fan, and maybe that fan's on, and it's the motor itself is becoming then its restriction because the blades of the fan, it's not allowing it to spin fast enough for the air to go through it, and so that's when air starts going like this, and you don't want that to happen with any cooler.
So, and then the other part people forget about, what did I include in there? 24 quarts of transmission fluid.
Yeah, which is a lot.
It's a lot, but I'm thinking worst case scenario, if you do end up having to drop the transmission for some reason.
Fill the converter.
You got to fill the converter back up, and you're adding fluid capacity with the transmission cooler. So make sure that you got your 24 quarts of Schaefer's ETF.
Yes.
Just so you know, 24 quarts of Schaefer's ETF is $260.
Yeah.
That's a deep pan. That's, that's blowing your budget by, you say 260, your wife says $300. You've now blown the budget by $300. See when it adds up. So now we've got the turbo taken care of, the transmission at least taken care of for the most part right now, judging that it's not shot to hell or anything like that. Fuel. He's running stock injectors, stock CP3. Doesn't plan changing it, not trying to make a ton of power, just want to maximize what he has there. We got a fast 165.
Yeah.
Now, why did we do a 165 compared to a 95? 165 because in the future, should his injectors go out, he's going to go bigger.
Yeah.
He wants to be able to kind of be in that 550, 600 horsepower range. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that the 95 will not be able to suffice? No. The 95 will be able to suffice all of your 600 horsepower. But a 165, if you're going to play around the 600 horsepower mark, will work for you. And if you get a wild hair up your ass, you can go higher.
What's the saying? Better need and not have than have, or no, better have and not need than need and not have.
True.
Boom.
And I think the only time that I would not recommend someone do that is if they're like, I'm never doing injectors. I don't even like running on a hot tune. I don't want to make a lot of power. Who says that anyways? Yeah. But like, I just need something better. Like, okay, 95 is just fine for you.
Yeah.
That costs money. What we got here next, we've got a rail plug because you're probably going to need that. We've got the oil filter. We've got engine oil. And so that kind of put it all together there. And then... Parts that everybody else forgets about too, labor.
Yeah, if you don't want to install it yourself, labor can add up very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, a decent shop rate for diesel work is around $90 to $120. I mean, when we were doing suspension installs here, we charge $125 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because we know what we are putting out is quality work. Some shops will charge less, but it's kind of one of those things. You kind of get what you pay for kind of a thing. So expect to pay around that $100 an hour, maybe $115 on average. But that adds up, especially for, like a labor rate, like for a set of ball joints, let's mm-hmm. say. It's like, I want to say it's like 3 or 4 hours per side.
Yeah.
And they're going to charge you 3 or 4 hours per side. Whether it takes them an hour and a half to do them or it takes them the full 3 hours, they're going to charge you whatever that labor rate is. So it can add up extremely quickly. Why don't you tell them what you have as far as total labor cost on that?
So total labor, I have about $3,000. And how that breaks down is I figured the turbo install, because they're going to be doing turbo and manifold,
mm-hmm.
Figured about 8 hours at yeah. $125 an hour, yeah. $1,000. Transmission labor. Maybe they drop it, do an inspection, they go through, they give it the okay, they flush it, put new fluid in, put the cooler on. I figure that's probably about 8 hours.
Yeah.
$1,000. Gear install.
Yeah.
Taking it to someone, Nitro, taking dust yeah. differentials. Taking it to someone that actually knows what they're doing, they can get it done in a day.
Yeah.
$1,000. Like, that adds up. That's $3,000.
Yeah.
For the stuff that I consider the forgotten things, that's over $3,600 of stuff that people usually just kind of like incidental. I'll work it yeah. out later. Work it out later. Work it out later. I'll tell you who didn't forget about that $3,600. Your wife.
Yeah.
Happy wife. Yeah. Happy life.
Yeah.
Happy truck.
Yeah.
And that's.
yeah.
I know how it feels, man.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there going, "Oh, just do that work yourself. You can do all that stuff yourself." Yeah, you can, but at the same time, if you've never done it before and you don't do something right
mm-hmm.
or you screw something up, you just turn an 8-hour job into a 16-hour job. And then if you can't fix it, you just spent all that time messing it up, and then you're going to take it to a shop, and guess what? He's probably going to charge you over the 8 hours because he's got to fix what you screwed up mm-hmm. and then do the install. So something to think about. I mean, mechanicking isn't for everyone. I mean, you had a conversation earlier was it today or yesterday with a guy. It's like, man, you should not be working on your truck.
Yeah. we're not going to get into details on that. Yeah. But at the end of it, the issues that he was having, the questions that he was asking, it's not so much like, how much oil does this truck take or something yeah. like that. It's some other things. And it's to the point where it's like, man, you should not be working on a truck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you're very smart. I'm sure yeah. you're extremely intelligent and something else. You're probably smarter than I am, but trucking working is not for you, my friend.
Yeah, for real.
So now you talked about all that. That adds up to $10,995.76, not including the core charge. So we'll call it $11,000 plus a core charge of $400. That puts you up $15,000. You get $400 of that back. But it's almost like showing up to class. Like, you can show your wife this. Like, look, I mapped this all out. There's always going to be, I might even with this, I would probably tack on an extra $500 for the stuff you forgot about.
For miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous. Yeah. You strip a bolt, you got to go buy a new drill bit, an extractor,
yeah.
and a new bolt. You know, that stuff adds up.
Yeah.
Oh, the one thing I definitely forgot on here, because we're talking about EGTs and keeping them down, AFE intake manifold.
Yeah.
Let's move air.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen. So that all being said, I think he's going to be really happy with that. I hope your wife likes to make Excel work. I can send you the actual file if you need to really kind of edit that. But let's get back to the gears, because this really kind of lit my fire to do a really good gears episode. And I think if we're going to do that, we're going to bring Ashford up here.
Yeah.
And we're going to have another three-way.
Ooh, a three-way.
Yeah, and we're really going to get real nitty-gritty with gears. Hoping to get a couple ring opinions up here.
Yeah, just so you guys can see. I know we have a couple of install kits down there. Mm-hmm. We can bring up an install kit and show like what each part is and kind of how they... I mean, I used to set up gears all the time. I haven't done it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually kind of fun. Like, the whole process of setting up gears. Yeah, you need some special tools to pull bearings and that sort of thing. You got to have a dial indicator to check your backlash of your gears. You got to have an inch-pound torque wrench to check your rolling torque of your pinion after you preload that pinion. So there's a lot of aspects to it that it's not just, oh, you just throw that in there, tighten it up, and I would do them at the dealership actually all the time.
And it was super fun. For most other folks, you combine that with doing that all on your back.
Yeah, not cool.
That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks.
That really sucks.
Especially when you're doing like the rolling torque and setting the pinion preload with the crush sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Like you almost can't do it on the floor because they give you like at least the tool that I use was a, and I'm sure it's come a long way, but this thing was almost like homemade,
mm-hmm.
where you would literally like on a Cummins, the pinion yoke itself was just like the drive shaft bolts to the four bolts. And then that sits on the pinion with the big pinion nut. We would take this, I don't know, it was a freaking shaft that had a square, like a box on it that had bolt holes, and you would mm-hmm. bolt the yoke to this shaft, right, to hold it. And you would hold that, and you would set your pinion preload. You'd pull that off, and then you get an inch-pound torque wrench and roll that pinion around and get, because it was supposed to be a certain amount of resistance
on, yeah.
on there. So they're really cool to set up, and I'd love to do it again, and probably ain't going to end up doing it on the Suburban because I've got 35s with who knows what gears are in that thing. But
it's a diesel, though.
It's a diesel.
Doesn't care.
Torque. Yeah, for torque days.
So let's talk about this chart that I have going here, and I still need to extrapolate this and finish it because this chart actually blew my mind. And
if anybody wants something like this, just shoot us an email. We'll be happy to make you guys a chart, and actually we probably should make this public somewhere on the website.
Yeah, I think it'll be a blog post, and I might extrapolate out a little bit more here, because there are calculators online, but trying to actually look at the numbers next to each other, it's really fascinating.
Yeah, well, and a lot of guys don't know what their final drive ratio and transmission. So, and that plays a huge role in mm-hmm. what the ending RPM is going to end up.
Because what your calculators are figuring out, if you don't know your final drive ratio and the calculator is just guessing for you, they're always going to put like 0.7 or 0.71, which is like average.
Right.
Whereas a 68 RFE has a 0.63 final drive ratio. That's a lot. It may not seem like a lot, but that's a lot different between a 0.7 and 0.71.
Absolutely.
And so the chart I made here, like we talked about in the beginning, we got 31, 35s, 37s, all with 373, 410, 430, and 456 gears. Now here's the part where I blew my mind today. The ratio of 430
mm-hmm.
is a relatively new ratio.
Yes.
It's supposed to work extremely well with 37s, and mm-hmm. it does. I always thought that 430s were supposed to get you to, you know, and it might be different on certain trucks, but I always thought 430s were supposed to get you to stock plus a little bit. So like a little bit of mechanical advantage, like a little bit more aggressive of a gear. After I filled out all of these, it's actually stock like minus like
20.
Yeah, within 20 RPM.
Which is nothing. Less. You can't even see that on your gauge.
Yeah, and that could be attributed to rounding errors. All my roundings here, I did the mile an hour had to be within 100th. So it had to be like 70.0 and then whatever. 70.04.
Something not visible.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because the calculator I was using actually went to like 7.015 or something like that. I knocked off the last two. As long as I said zero, I was good with it. And so for your stock gearing, like your 31-inch tire from the factory with 373 gears, at 60 miles an hour, you're at 1,530 RPM. 430s at 60 miles an hour with 37s, 1,478.
So you're like there. You're within 60.
You're just about. You figure 1,530 round down to 15. 1478 round up to 15.
Yeah,
you're basically stock ratio. I always thought it was stock, like plus a little bit, you know. And so that's where I blew my mind.
Yeah.
And then that's where, and this is like, if Cooper's listening or watching, he's probably going like, I've been telling these guys.
Like, we
all know this, but as far as like putting it into like actual,
seeing it on paper is totally different because you could see like, if you were to do 430s on your truck without doing tires, let's just say you put the 430s on there, mm-hmm. at 60 miles an hour, you're almost going to be humming along at 2,000 RPMs. I mean, you're going to be at 1,762. That's 300 higher RPMs from just changing gears at mm-hmm. 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's how much of a difference it makes. And then that you can show, okay, that 300 RPM difference. When you have the right size tire matched with that gear, you can get it back down to where you're supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
back within spec of factory. And again, it's all about that mechanical advantage. And then you can even go one up from that and go to a 456.
Yeah.
Still isn't even that bad.
It with really 37s. Isn't.
I mean, you're cruising at 60 at 1567. I mean, most people around here, at least where we live on the freeway, they're cruising about 65. Maybe it'll touch 70 here and there on I-90 there in town. even at that, you're still under 2,000 RPMs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by quite a bit.
For me personally, if you're cruising at whatever speed you like to go on the freeway and you're under 2,000,
you're good. Yeah.
So, like, we're talking a 456 and a 37. You're cruising at 2,087 RPM.
At 80 miles an hour, which there's not many places.
Why are you going 80?
Yeah.
Well, I know why you're going.
Yeah. 80. Yeah. Right.
But you know, we're talking about cruising at that speed.
Yeah.
And I imagine people think 488s, oh, those are off-road gears. You can't even go on the freeway at those. I have to imagine once I extrapolate this, that 488s at 80 miles an hour and 37s.
I bet you it's going to be close to the 65. I bet you the 60 is going to be close to 1,700 RPMs. Mm-hmm. And then it basically is going to, you know, 70 would be close to, or 65 would be close to 18, and so on and so forth, kind of thing.
I would assume you're probably going to be at about 2,195 RPM. I'm going to write
80,
that down.
At 80.
2,195 for 488s on 37s. That's my mathematical guess there.
That's your guess.
It's pretty exact. I mean, I'm going to edit that to, I want to say 97, just because I like odd numbers.
I was going to say, I'm going to price this right you right now. I'm going to guess that. $21.96. Dollar less.
Anyhow, so but we're going to, I really like the idea of having a really good in-depth gears episode.
Yeah.
This is an episode that you may want to watch, but if it's probably going to be a long one. I think we're going to get real technical. There's going to be a lot of beers.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a pointer.
We should bring up an actual calculator, too, so if there's someone watching, they'll be like, well, what am I at? I have this, this, and this, and we can just do it right there.
Yeah. And we will. I'll make sure that we have that date announced nice ahead of time so you guys can tune in and everything like that. But this is all really good information for me. And the gentleman who I talked to, I'm really glad we got to talk. I think your truck's going to end up being really cool. And I hope this isn't a step too far, but I hope it made your wife happy.
Yeah.
Anytime wives are happy, we're all happy.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
Happy wife.
When Tyler's wife's happy, I'm happy.
Yeah.
When my wife is happy, Tyler's happy.
I'm happy.
It's a circle.
It's a circle.
It's not a triangle.
It's circular.
Anyhow, my rant for the day, where the hell is winter?
Oh, yeah. We don't have really, you know what? And I got fancy new tires on the Suburban. And ever since I got those on there, I've been just waiting for some snow.
Yeah.
Just waiting.
I
haven't been scared for my life recently in the Suburban, and that scares me.
Yeah. So I finally took the time. So my wife has a new job, and she's a teacher. She teaches first grade. And the road she has to drive to get to work is like the worst road in Spokane.
No, literally, I'm not joking. Like, the worst road in
it's
Spokane.
It's a long, sloping, downhill curve in the mornings.
So right next to a river.
Right next to a river, and it drops off everywhere.
Yeah.
And it freaks me out, and I'm sure it freaks her out too. So I finally decided to really get our, I want to say, emergency stuff, or roadside recovery things all set up. So I got us both ARB straps, soft shackles. What else did I do? I did three things. Oh, air compressors and tire repair kits. Yeah, because I want to make sure that.
And your lighter, you just took.
And the lighters, I want to make sure that if I'm in her car and we're going somewhere and something happens, that at least if it's a flat tire or something like that, I can fix it. And or if she can't fix it or something like that, I have everything in my car to fix it for her or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of like air compressors and that sort of thing, if you guys have been paying attention, we've been adding products to our website like madmen. I mean, crazy amount of products added to the site. I just got done adding personally some of the bigger pack brake compressors, like the one Dustin picked up, that big boy one. So.
Yeah.
Check out, if you guys want onboard air on your truck, we're adding some pretty cool pack brake onboard air stuff. So check that stuff out. Pretty awesome stuff. I have onboard air on the Suburban. I have tools in the Suburban.
It's a spare body Chevy.
I mean,
doesn't matter what engine's in it.
Yeah. For real. So.
So hit me with your tangent. I want to hear your tangent.
Well, obviously you guys know, I mean, Suburban. Have you guys heard of the pinion? Not pinion. The driveline, I can't wait to think.
I was called the classic Chevy clunk.
Classic Chevy clunk. So the driveline, apparently it's the slip yoke that comes out of the transfer case.
Mm-hmm.
Was it manufactured this way? I still have yet to find out. But apparently what you got to do is pull it off and stuff it full of grease. I've even seen guys like stuffing racquetballs in the inside. Crazy stuff. But anyway, so I've got that going on, which isn't a big deal. Other than that, And she's running really good. Really good. Like, almost too good. Like, to the point where it's like, you know when, like, something's about to blow up, it usually runs the best?
Yeah.
That good.
So, like, you're on lap, like, 480 out of 500 right now, and you're just like...
I'll be driving the thing, and I'll, like, pull up to a stoplight, and I get to the stoplight where it's already red, and I'm, like, slowing down. I don't quite come to a stop, it turns green, and I hit the throttle. It'll freaking snap your neck. Like, the zero to 6 mile an hour is violent. It is.
I was hoping you were going to say at least like 20.
No, 0 to 6 is absolutely violent. I mean, Kip, if you're watching, I think I can give your drag truck a run for its money. Zero. Yeah. I challenge you, Kip, to a drag race. 0 to 6 miles an hour.
His tires will still be breaking loose before he gets you.
All traction. Yeah. I'll have a broken neck. I need a freaking Hodge device in that thing. But
oh my god.
No, seriously, it's violent. But I don't know, we're if you guys didn't see our screw ups earlier, you guys check out our Off Road Power Products website. We carry CRKT knives. These are pretty cool. I just picked myself up one.
Mm.
I don't know. I've never really like spent more than like $15 on a knife. So they're kind of cool.
Yeah. You know, if you're listening on iTunes, and you don't mind our like little tangents like this, shoot me an email. Because honestly, your guys' input really kind of helps us here. So like, if you're like, I want diesel trucks, that's it.
Diesel trucks and that's it.
I don't want knives. I don't want funny stuff. I want the data and that's it.
Me personally, I kind of like the tangent stuff. I like talking about like normal everyday things.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, I don't know, is it humanized? I mean, we're humans, so we just don't talk about just diesels all the time. Yeah. We talk about all sorts of weird things.
Really weird things. I had this random thought. I had a professor, my avionics professor. He never said data. He said dater.
Dater?
Dater.
I had a teacher in school that would, if you said motor, he'd like damn near kick you out of the house. Yeah. That's electric.
Yeah.
Get out.
So we're going to change even further on that. So I went to school mostly for aviation stuff. Anytime you quoted Top Gun, it was like, get out. Get out of the room. But it was like, if you were in the room with a professor, they didn't care. But like, you'd be in a study group. And anytime, the answer was never no.
Yeah.
It was always negative. And you could hear someone 40 feet away. Powerful.
Yeah.
It never goes right, powerful. Like, shut up!
Now, I remember getting into class or like, there's a kid that was like already gone through the class. He's like, "Don't say motor." I'm like, "Why? It's a motor." Don't say motor. That's electric. I'm like, "Oh, okay." And then you get to the teacher, and the teacher's like the most dry, like just looks at you like, "Yeah, you're an idiot." It's like, "Oh, I'm trying to learn. I'm in class, and you're calling me an idiot."
It's either that one or a negative boost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's called vacuum.
It's called vacuum.
Yeah. It's not vacuum. It's vacuum, you idiot. Yeah. Guilty. Yeah. I've done it. We've all done it. Anyhow, thanks for watching. I hope you enjoy our stupid tangents. If you want to know more about us personally, maybe we'll do an episode on backgrounds or whatnot. Yeah. I don't know.
I might be funny.
Background's ridiculous. I have no idea what I'm doing with my life. I got a cute kid and a hot wife and a crappy Suburban.
Wow, sounds like me, except for the kid thing is a
well,
dog.
You got two dogs and a cat. That's like a baby.
Yeah, you add them all together. All that is like one baby.
One baby.
Maybe.
Anyhow, thanks for watching. Make sure there's a 5-star review. I promise once we get shirts, I'm going to send them out to you guys with dank memes. Thanks for watching.
Yeah.
This was a hard one, honestly.
Thanks for hanging in with us.
It's late right now, and if you're listening on iTunes, it obviously means nothing to you, but we had to restart this thing like 4 times because we were having issues with our camera. And we're working on upgrading our equipment so that our microphones don't... I'm sure my producer right now is going to try to slap my microphone, but yeah. We're working on it. We're diesel guys. We're not podcast guys.
Yeah, that's right.
We're still learning. Anyhow, thanks for watching. We will see you next week. Make sure you give us a 5-star review. Drink some cold beer. Have a good time.
Cheers.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. For all of your diesel performance needs, be sure to visit us at dieselpowerproducts.com.